Rolene Marks, a very good morning to you. How are you?
Boke Tov, I tell you, I have Oscar fever, I have APEC fever. What is, and it's only, what, 7:45 in the morning?
All right, well, the day, where does it go from there? So, Rolene Marks, you've got Dina Diamond joining us in studio.
Hello, Roro.
Hello, Gina.
So, we've been talking marketing, lots of very, very significant events happening in the Jewish world as well as the non-Jewish world over the weekend, and we're talking about how to handle all of those. What I do want to start off with is...
I'm going to be a fly on the wall in this discussion.
Well, you can just stay tuned then, www.chaifm.com. Rolene, let's talk APAC, and let's talk about the announcement that Guatemala is moving its embassy to Jerusalem.
Well, I tell you, I think this summer in Israel is going to be a case of musical embassies, because we had the president of Guatemala addressing an audience at APEC last night. APEC is the American Israel Public Affairs Committee, and anyone who's everyone is there, and anyone who's everyone endeavors to speak there. So Jimmy Morales, who is the president of Guatemala, announced that his country will join the United States in moving their embassy to Jerusalem. There is speculation that he said 2 days after the American embassy would move. He says it will likely be May. He has received the expected pushback, which, you know, we could read between the lines, perhaps threats, perhaps strong warnings from bigger countries about the veracity of moving the embassy. And he says that while they've had unofficial conversations, he says the move is likely. And he says the decision was driven by the diplomatic principle of reciprocity, which indicates that a nation gives only as much as it takes. And he says that's the rule, the reciprocity rule. We believe that with Israel, we have been good friends ever since the establishment of the Jewish state. And that's all he spoke about. And on Friday morning, you and I spoke about the fact that Israeli search and rescue teams were in Guatemala training up at least 45 of their search and rescue personnel. So it's looking good.
Amazing. Tell us, for our listeners who aren't fully aware of what APEC is, I believe it's 18,000 delegates. This happens every year, and it's just the most incredible, incredible event. But they have had certain political issues and divides that they've been trying to bridge, haven't they?
They have, and I think that's indicative of any major Jewish organization where there are divergent opinions. I think it's very rare that we find a major Jewish organization where everybody absolutely agrees, and that's fine. You know, that's, we are a people who loves to discuss and to debate, but also addressing APEC last night was the head of APEC. His name is Howard Koren, another great Howard. He said that there is only one solution for the situation as it currently stands. This is the executive director, Howard Koren, and he says it's tragic that... But he says it is time for two states, for two peoples. And he placed the blame squarely on the Palestinian leadership for avoiding direct talks. But he stressed the point that Israel needs peace with all of her neighbors.
Absolutely, absolutely right. Critical discussion indeed. Will Jews be visiting Bahrain for the next holiday destination?
Well, you know, one of the things that Executive Director Koren mentioned last night was, should there be more stability between Israel and her neighbors, it does influence, it's not responsible for the situation in the Middle East, but it does show a good example. It does filter out in the rest of the region. And we have seen overtures over the last year or so, possibly the last 18 months, where relations between Israel and various Gulf states are warming up significantly. And one of them is the tiny kingdom of Bahrain. And what has been interesting is that in the last couple of months, we've had a delegation of rabbis visit Bahrain. We had members of Bahrain visit Israel, a business delegation, and now there is discussion that maybe Bahrain could possibly be a very desirable destination for Jewish tourism.
Amazing.
So what the King of Bahrain has said is that he hopes that other Jewish congregations or Jews will follow the delegation that came out from the Foundation of Ethnic Understanding. And he says he hopes that more and more delegations come out. And what is also quite fascinating is that Bahrain has a massive Jewish community, Howard.
I had absolutely no idea.
It's so massive. It consists of 37 people.
Oh. I was wondering. I don't think it's the biggest country to start off with.
Right.
But it's the biggest Jewish community in the Gulf State region. What
well,
can I
we
say?
Well, there we go. All 37. So there must be a Chabad.
Massive. It's probably the whole thing that's Chabad.
Yeah. There's probably a Chabad, it's, and there's probably the shul they won't go to because they're going
to. That's a Chabad rabbi, his wife and his children.
Exactly. But it's also, as with all the Jewish communities, there's also a Jewish cemetery.
Amazing.
And I would
actually love to go. I'd love to go and see it. I think it's. I'm fascinated by many of these.
Well,
Middle
I think
Eastern
they would
countries.
Welcome you with open arms.
Let's get a delegation
right,
going.
Exactly. Somebody's got to or have a Jewish historical heritage tour.
Someone
to Bahrain. All right. Well, there we go.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So they're also hoping that by 2021, there'll be direct flights between Bahrain and New York. So all in all, it's very productive, very warm relations. And another thing that they were very, very quick to point out is that the Kingdom of Bahrain was the first Gulf state to officially publicly denounce Iran as a state of terror and extremism.
Amazing. Absolutely fascinating. The attack yesterday, I kept looking at footage and I kept not wanting to watch it, but it somehow kept popping up on my Facebook feed, this terrible attack. The father of the terrorist has now said that it was not a terror attack. Do we believe him?
I don't believe him because I've seen the footage, and that footage is absolutely traumatic to watch. If anyone is not up to date, what happened yesterday is that a 21-year-old border policeman was, I don't know how he was moderately wounded because I've seen that footage, and two IDF soldiers were wounded when a 26-year-old Arab Israeli from the Galilee rammed his car into them. All that we know about him is that he's 26 years old. His identity has not been made public yet. And his father has said that, why would my son do such a thing? He had just taken his pregnant wife to the hospital for a checkup and intended to return. And he doesn't know what the condition of his son is, but he says it was not terror driven. A police commander in the region said it's 100% certain that this was a terror attack. He said that they've already questioned this driver by both the police and the Shabak, the Shin Bet, the security services.
It's been relatively quiet with regard to these types of attacks lately. Am I right in observing that?
Well, they have become more sporadic. I think we also have, because we are learning the signs to look out for, we've also got a lot more or a lot less complacent when it comes to spotting these kind of incidents. With a car ramming or a pigua drisat, as we call it here, it's a lot more difficult to predict. But when it comes to profiling potential stabbers, that has become a lot better. And I think also our intelligence services on the ground are working round the clock to try and preempt these kind of attacks. They are lone wolf type attacks, but very, very often they followed in close succession. And sadly, our soldiers are a prime target of these kind of attacks.
Very, very frightening, because when you look at the innocence with which this person was walking across the road, you just can't see that kind of thing coming. You can't protect yourself from it. It's almost an impossible thing to avoid.
Absolutely. And copycat terrorists around the world have seen how successful these terrorists have been in severely wounding and sometimes killing their victims. And we have seen this around the world in cities like Berlin, in New York, in other places around the world. So this is the frightening thing, because they are less easier to predict than major terror attacks.
And to some extent, they actually affect the psyche, I think, a lot more. Because, you know, when you walk into a shopping mall and you know that, the bags have been checked, you feel, you see the presence of security around, you have a sense of comfort. Whereas here, the unease is tremendous, I would think.
Well, if you turn the clock back to when this all started, we were walking around with coat hangers and pepper spray and anything that we could smack a potential terrorist with.
That's true.
Nobody left the house without a rolling pin and a coat hanger. And it sounds funny.
We laugh, I know, but it's actually the most frightening thing. Yeah.
But this was the situation we found ourselves in. And if you drive around parts of Jerusalem and parts of the 443, you will see concrete barriers where the bus stops are to try and prevent these kind of car ramming attacks. But the truly vulnerable are the soldiers walking in the street.
Yeah. Frightening indeed. There, we do have to leave it. Rolene Marks, thank you for taking the time to speak to us this morning, and you'll be on the afternoon show later today.
I will be on the afternoon show later today and keeping you company all week. And right now, after this news update, I need to get an Oscar dress update. I mean,
yes, please.
You can appreciate this.
I definitely can, along with the shoes. Really.
I know that Dean is appreciating.
I am beyond appreciating. I'm actually looking for it right now.
Look at Dina's shoes. I think you'd appreciate Dina's shoes. We have to take a photo and send that to you, Rolene.
I was just about to say, where's my picture? Disappointed, how?
Listen, it's not quite Purim, but it's Blue Monday.
It is 8 o'clock. Here's your news with Zanati.